بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Real quick before we get into this podcast, inshallah ta'ala, make sure you join Guided Success if you're a Muslim seeking to improve yourself, seeking to deepen your Islamic knowledge. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Right now you can start a 7-day free trial when you join the community. So go ahead and do that. Check it out, inshallah. The link will be in the description. All right.
And hold on. Don't even let that just go over your head. This guy literally just offered you a whole community where you can better yourself, connect with other Muslims, and you're going to sit here and just let that go over the top of your head. And he literally just said 7-day free trial. Like, meaning what? If you don't like what you see, you don't have to stay. There's no pressure.
If you have any
like
more...
if this is something that works out for you, then it works. If it doesn't, then, you know, it doesn't have to work right now. You know, inshallah, we see you, you know, later down the road. You know what I mean? Not everybody's going to be there. It's not meant for everybody. It's only meant for those who want to get better and improve themselves. And if you don't fall into that category, then don't even bother.
Inshallah, if you have any more questions, DM us. And you know, we'll respond, inshallah.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, bro. Sold me. All right. Anyway, let's get into this podcast. So first off, we apologize. We couldn't film the week before. Our brother had some complications.
Man, matter of fact, no. That complications, I'm going to come on this podcast. I'm going to speak about it. You know, that's the whole point of this. You know what I'm saying? We got to speak about what goes on in our lives and, you know, how we deal with things. Anyways, so let me tell you guys a story. So I'm driving. You know, for those of you who don't know, I drive, you know, a little bit over an hour to get here, you know, every week, sometimes multiple times a week. So we can sit here and record these videos for you guys that you guys love, right? Anyways, so I'm driving up here and just, you know, I just get a feeling like I like to speed a lot. You know, I like to drive fast, just who I am. You know what I mean? And just, I got this feeling. I was like, man, I don't want to drive fast. I just want to chill. So I was just driving chill. I was actually going under the speed limit. I was going like 60 miles per hour, speed limit 70. And, you know, I was just chilling. And all of a sudden, you know, when you're driving, you guys ever stumble upon a road and it gets a little bumpy and you're like, all right, you know, the road, it's probably a crap road. But I'm like, I drive this every week. I never had this problem here, but there's been a lot of construction going on. So I was like, all right, you know, this might be a little bad of a road. And I was like, yeah, there's just no way. So I go to pull over, right? Because I'm like, I definitely got a flat tire. As I'm going to pull over, I'm like slightly turning my steering wheel to the right and the car almost spins out. And I'm like, oh my God. But like, thankfully I got driver mod. Alhamdulillah, I have driver mod. For those of you who don't know what that means, meaning I'm, you know, S tier driver. You know what I mean? So I let off the gas and I counter steer. Okay. And I'm pulling over to the shoulder. And as I'm pulling over, I see like, because on the highway, I look over to the right and it's just this steep behind hill with a whole bunch of trees at the bottom. So meaning what? If I would have spun out, I would have gone off that hill because there was no guardrail and I would have been in those trees. Meaning what? I could have had major injury. I could have died. You know, alhamdulillah, like, you know, we still here. Allah was like definitely looking out. So like, you know, like subhanAllah, I was just sitting there in the situation. Like I'm just sitting there reflecting. I'm like, wow, like I could have like just a smidge more and I could have really been down there. You know what I mean? And it could have been like such a completely, you know, different situation, completely different outcome. But, you know, alhamdulillah, like everything turned out good. My plans for the day, like they got ruined, but like, you know, everything happens for a reason. So I was like, you know what, you know, it is what it is. And then, you know, when you put into a situation like that, like that's the times like when Allah is really testing you, like, is a four letter word going to come out of your mouth? Or are you going to, you know, remember Allah and say something good about, you know, in that situation?
Alhamdulillah.
Like it reminds me of like this when Allah says like in Surah Al-Baqarah when he says whenever a calamity befalls them and they say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, like you, like those are the type of things that you should be saying in those circumstances, like whenever like a hardship befalls you, like, you know, you got to remember to say that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, like it's just, wallah, it was a crazy story. And I spent my whole like half my day out there on the side of the highway just waiting.
I remember he kept sending us snaps. Like from, I think it was from like 10 in the morning he was out there, and then he didn't like finally leave until like 5 p.m. And I was like, dang, bro, 7 hours.
Bro, I got home at like, yeah, like 8 o'clock.
Oh, man, it's crazy. I could get into a story later, inshallah, about like, you know, something happened to me, bro. But so the premise of this podcast, you know, we spoke recently about, you know, loving Allah and becoming loved by Allah. But this episode, I want to talk about something that me and Usman heard on one of those short little lectures after Yuparisha, and it was stemming from, you know, the conversation in Surah Maryam where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, the grave word that people say that Allah has taken a son. And it's such a grave word that the heavens and the earth should rupture at the thought of that. But had it not been for Allah, that they don't. SubhanAllah. And, you know, I've deeped it before, but I didn't really actually like, think about it until he was like, you know, really explaining it, how grave of a word, you know, the people commit shirk, you know, like what they, like what they do, how bad it really is, like why it's really, really like the most hated sin. And then he brought up, you know, like what love is and learning love, and learning love is through like your relationship with Allah, and then also learning how to hate. You also learn how to hate, and you either learn how to hate by doing what Allah hates. So then he's going to cause you to do a whole bunch of things that are hated by the people, because he's going to humiliate you. If you do what Allah hates, then you're going to end up being hated by the people. You're going to be dishonored by the people. And it made me think about, you know, a simple question. You ask someone, what is love? Or if someone asks you, what is love? It's a counter question. This is how you answer it. What is your relationship with Allah? Mm-hmm. You don't have to ask what is love if you know who Allah is. If you have a relationship with Allah, if you have a relationship with Al-Wadud, then you're going to know what love is.
Because it's interesting. I find it interesting that people, they'll speak about love, they'll speak about, you know, they'll talk about their friends or even like the relationship with their parents and things like that. But their entire, if you can't have a relationship with your creator, with your originator, with the one who made you and gave you everything that you have, and you can't have a loving relationship with that, how do you expect to have a loving relationship with anyone else? Like, it's just going to be messed up foundational. Like, you can say that, but it's going to be messed up foundational. You can say, anyone can say, oh, I'll do anything for this person, or I'll do anything for Allah. But, you know, that's just a word.
But then the slightest thing that happens to you in that relationship, you guys are ready to break it off.
Exactly.
But see, when you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can sin against Allah for your whole life. You turn back in repentance one time, Allah can forgive you and wipe away all those sins that you had committed. Mm-hmm. So the same thing can happen if you have someone in your life and you know them, but you know Allah, like you know Allah, you have a relationship with Allah, and you're in a relationship with this person, whether it's a friendship, your family, your spouse, you have them in your life because it's from Allah, not because it's from you.
And, right? it's like that person, they might do wrong one time, or they might do something you like one time, and that's it. Done deal. You leave them be. But before you said you love this person, before you said you do anything.
Because you know what the difference is? When you love someone for the sake of Allah, it's unconditional. Conditional. But then when you love somebody just because of something, then it's conditional, mm-hmm. right? Because it's contingent upon something. Mm-hmm. So like, if you love someone because they make a lot of money, what happens when they don't have money anymore? You're gonna love this person the same? What, you love this person because they keep it real all the time. What happens when they slip up and lie one time? You're not going to love this person anymore? Mm-hmm. But when you love someone for the sake of Allah, like, you're going to see past like their faults. Like, you're going to forgive them for the sake of Allah. Mm-hmm. Like, matter of fact, earlier today, I was listening to a lecture, and it was talking about how, you know, one who shows mercy on the earth, like, Allah will show them mercy from the heavens. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not going to be merciful to the people, and yet you expect Allah to be merciful to you, like, how many times do you sin against Allah, and Allah forgives you every single time? But yet, you know, someone does the slightest wrong to you and you don't even want to forgive them.
If you even look at it, like the way that people fall celebrities nowadays, you know, they love them by knowing their first name, their last name, where they originated from, where they currently live. They know all these things about these celebrities. But the moment they find a tweet from them back in 2013, they said something questionable. Now they're hating on them. They're trying to cancel them and this and that. It's like, it doesn't matter what good they did. It doesn't matter whatever, you know, the reason they're famous, if it helped them in their life or whatever, it doesn't matter anymore. Now they hate them because they slipped up one time. But see, how many times have you slipped up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sinned against yourself, you know, disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sat there and he forgave you. You asked Allah for forgiveness one time. And even if you think about the people in the Quran who they disobey Allah all this time, but then they come back to Allah one time asking a dua, and then they still go back and doing what they did. But Allah granted you that dua, subhanAllah. And I don't know if you remember when he was talking about, I think this was yesterday, but he was talking about Iblis, remember? Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, we really just don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We think that our du'as aren't answered. We think Allah doesn't love us. We think that, you know, our du'as being delayed or they're being answered in a different way is worse on us, is bad for us because we're not getting exactly what we wanted. But look at Iblis. He was arrogant. He disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not turn back to Allah. He made a du'a and it was accepted. And you think your du'as are not accepted? Are you for real, bro?
And it's right. You know the situation. Hold on. Iblis knew what he did. He knew his wrong, but he still made a du'a because Iblis had knowledge of Allah. He knew Allah. He worshipped Allah prior to this, and he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he's merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, and he would answer a du'a. It doesn't matter if you sin 1,000 times, he's going to answer your du'a. Because that's like you just got to have that. You got to, you know Allah's attributes, and you have to practice. You have to read the Quran. You have to understand these things.
Mm-hmm. So Iblis, he may have been arrogant. He may have disobeyed Allah, but he had tawakkul. He knew Allah. He knew that you call upon Allah, he will respond to you. Did Allah put that line in the Quran, a line that we quote so often? Did he put that line in there for you to just say, Allah's not answering my dua, I gave up? What do you mean you gave up? Kev, how? What type of love do you have for your creator if you're deciding to give up on him? He would never give up on you. Until the day you start committing shirk and you decide that you'll never become a Muslim again, then Allah has made it haram for you to become a Muslim. But Allah would never give up on you until you give up on him. And that's just the truth. And subhanAllah, when he said that, I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, yeah, like Shaitan really, he had his dua answered. Like, what do you mean? How are we going to tell ourselves that we actually love Allah? That we, like, not just believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in his oneness, but actually loving him.
And it's like, it's like, when's the last time you sat to yourself, you try to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings upon you and what he's given you, and you thought to yourself, I love Allah. And it's like every thought that you have, every thought that a Muslim have nowadays is a bad thought. It's an anxious thought. It's like, and that anxiety, that worry, that sadness that you feel, it's because of a lack of faith that you have. It's a lack of faith in the trust of Allah and the plan of Allah. And it's like, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people in Surah Ma'idah, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbuna. Allah loves them and they love Allah. Those are the type of people we want to be like. And it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't just tell you to love him, but he teaches you how to love. One, through the prayer. Like, think about everything in Islam which we are commanded to do, which is fard upon us. Prayer, we got to remember often. We got to remember. Fasting, you got to sacrifice some of your food and some of your drink, your desires, for the sake of Allah. Getting up in the night, you got to sacrifice some sleep for the sake of Allah. Pilgrimage, you got to go and travel for the sake of Allah. You know, zakat, you got to give out from your alms, from your wealth, from what you have for the sake of Allah. And through these, you'll find yourself developing that love for Allah because you do all this for Allah. And then through that, once you have established that and established that foundation, then you can go and do and carry on with your relationships with other people. For Usman, I can sacrifice. Here, you can take some of my food. That's an act of love. Here, I remember Usman a lot. Act of love. Usman, here, I can give you some of my money. An act of love. Then you can start doing that with other people because you've established that foundation with your creator. Think about that. How are you going to do that when you haven't established it? With the one who, like you, and you have to do, and this is something that, like, the sooner the better. You have to realize this. And it's like, I remember when we were having that conversation, it was so eye-opening because once you do that, it's like everything becomes easy. It's like everything, and anytime a person harms you or wrongs you, it's like you accept people for who they are. You don't, it's like, it's an unconditional. You accept people for who they are. Like, okay, you know, everybody's human. You're going to accept them with the baggage that they come with. With every blessing and every wrongdoing that they come with, you accept them, you say alhamdulillah, and you show mercy towards people. Give someone a smile. Mm-hmm. You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that was one of his characters. He was always smiling. It's because, why? Like, you ask yourself why. Like, he had such a hard life, such a difficult life. The people treated him in such a way, yet he still cried for them. It's because he knew the reality of the world and the reality of humanity.
Yes,
because he had knowledge that was given to him that, like, we didn't have. And subhanAllah, so why don't we try to act like that, and perhaps we'll understand it later. But right now, let's try to act it and call, you know, copy what he did, so that we can, like, we might not understand why the Prophet, you know, he smiled toward this person, or he prayed janazah for this person, or, like, he tried to help these people. We might not understand it now, but, like, you know, let's just try and, like, you know,
bro,
admire.
SubhanAllah, yeah, when you think about that, bro, like, nowadays, people, they're not selfless at all towards anyone, not even their family. You know, they see that, like, you know, they treat themselves before they treat their families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to go out and spend, you know, like, let's say they want to go buy a meal for themselves and to their family. They're thinking about, oh, man, how's this going to, you know, affect my bank account or something like that. Instead of just doing it. Mm-hmm. Yani, nothing in your life will ever decrease you. Wallahi, nothing in your life will ever decrease you if you're doing it for the sake of Allah. SubhanAllah. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Not your wallet. Not the food that you give out. Because I even read it that part of the sunnah is like, let's say you just see someone walking on the street and you have food in your house, you invite them. It doesn't matter. Just invite them. Even if you don't even have that much food, Allah will make it enough.
And let me explain something for you, and let me put it in hindsight. There are some people on this earth who, let's say someone owes me $20 or someone, I paid for someone's meal and they owe me money. I would go and cut that person off, or I would go and leave that person. Like, our relationship was worth $20. It wasn't worth nothing. You ain't, you know, nothing. It's not worth it. Like, that, if you're ready to leave someone because $20, you're like, the people today, we have so much quantity. We have so many Muslims, but the quality is low. That lack of love is showing between us. The lack of, you'll, a person cuts you off, like it could be literally anything. It could be over inheritance. You're going to leave someone over that. Like, your relationship was nothing. It was worth nothing. You couldn't even, if that person asked you to go and make a sandwich, you'll say, no, go make it yourself. Because what? Because you're arrogant. Your relationships, you're not, like, your lack of character shows with your relationships.
Now look at how many prayers you may have neglected to your Lord. Either that you weren't focused in, or that you skipped, you missed, regardless. And Allah still lets you come back and pray to him. Imagine if he cut you off for that one prayer that you missed. Or if that one prayer you were lazy in, that you didn't feel like praying because you were thinking about that exam you had, or you were thinking about that meeting you're going to have to go to after your work. Imagine if Allah cut you off because of that, because you weren't fully focused on your relationship with Him, because it wasn't worth it to you to focus on Allah. So Allah said, I'm not going to focus on you anymore. But instead, He gave you the ability to feel that, okay, my prayer wasn't the best here. Oh, I missed this prayer. I'm going to go repent to Allah. He gave you the ability to repent. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, Allah does not give this ability to a random person, or else He would have given it to everyone. What does Allah say in Surah Sajda, right? He says He could have given everyone their due guidance. Every single person He could have. But He said, no, He's going to fill the hellfire with jinn and mankind, because that's what they're deserving of. Allah's deserving of your worship. But if you don't want to worship, if you're not going to turn back to Allah, He's not going to need you to. He's not going to ask you to. He's not going to force you or anything. The same way that if you're not going to try to, you know, value your relationships, though, the people that Allah may have brought into your life, or stay away from the people that, you know, Allah shows you are not good for you, then why does Allah feel the need to help you?
Now, don't get this mistaken. I'm not saying that I'm not saying that people that mistreat you and do wrong, like just to leave it be. But I'm saying, to a person you call your brother, out of your words, if you speak the truth, treat them like they're your brother. Treat them like it. Act like it. Don't, you know, leave this person off for $20, not worth nothing. You just, like, the quality and the lack of your love, your love is so, like, when I say lack of love, look, I'll explain it to you, you know, using the stories of the past. The Sahaba, you know, may Allah's mercy be on them. The Sahaba, it was their love for Allah and the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam that pushed them to go and take up arms alongside them, even though they're in the minority, even though they had to face unbeatable odds. It was their love that pushed them to do the brave acts, that pushed them to fight for each other, that pushed them to do it. They would move mountains for each other. That's the type of love we want to have between Muslims today. That's the type of love, and that's what I mean when I say, oh, you guys have a lack of love. Because your Muslim brother, if he was stuck in, you know, if he were to get kidnapped, you wouldn't go try and find him. He didn't. Oh, sorry, can't do it. Like the lack of love, you don't even see. I'll explain it like this: love is a positive and motivating force in the world. Love will push you to do things which you never thought of doing. You thought you could do yourself. Think about it: when people become parents, when people become fathers, and they feel that love towards their child. Now, all of a sudden, they get up in the night to change diapers. Now, all of a sudden, they're working as hard as possible to try and provide for their children because they love them. It's out of love. If you can't feel that, if you can't feel that towards your brother or your sister, and you're really missing out on the capabilities within yourself. You have to be able to develop that. Don't let your heart be dead.
Now, imagine if for, you know, the people that we see who suffer in the world today, subhanAllah, and the Muslim Ummah, and sometimes we can't always donate, okay? I understand that. You know, it may be difficult because, you know, we donate in so many places. You might donate to the mosque, you might donate to this cause, give some to your family, right? But would it hurt you to even make a dua? SubhanAllah, you care about your Muslim brothers, but you can't even make a simple dua for them. You can't even just simply ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, knowing that, subhanAllah, you make a dua for another person, the angels say, I mean it for you too. You ask for forgiveness just for these people, or for forgiveness for the people who have passed away, the people who are suffering, or even just your family or anything. But you're neglectful towards that. How much salawat do you send on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? To truly believe, you have to love the Prophet more than you love yourself. And subhanAllah, that's something I've been trying to put into practice, is sending more salawat than any du'as I make for myself. Because the salawat, it's better for me anyway. You know, that's how you're really going to show your love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He's not here to witness your salawat. Allah is. So when it comes to interceding on the Day of Judgment, who's going to know how much salawat, how much love you had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? It's going to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Mm-hmm. To love Allah is to also love the messenger, subhanAllah. And yeah, what you spoke of, you know, loving someone unconditionally for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, when it comes to the parent and child bond, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the parents with an automatic connection to their child, right? There's automatic love there. But the connection with Allah is something you have to develop. You have to learn that. Right? And it's through that learning to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you learn to love for His sake. So then your relationship with your children is going to be better.
Or even think about it in marital sense. Think about it with your spouse. Wow, who on earth would want to live in a marriage where you argue every single day, where every single thing thing that person does, or like your spouse does, annoys you, it's something like that lacks in the heart.
Because look, Allah says, like, when you get married to somebody, they're supposed to be what? A source of peace. Mm-hmm. But obviously, what we see in society for the most part is the complete opposite of that. You know, divorce rates are through the roof. People don't want to get married. You know, people want to do such and such. But why? Because they're lacking that foundation. They don't go and they don't love for the sake of Allah. They don't do what Allah commanded them to go do. So they go ahead and they try to find elsewhere. They find what's simply easier for them. But in reality, it's not easier. You're making it easy right now just to make it harder on yourself later on. Like, for example, I always tell people, look, if people actually did things like the right way, like we'd live in a completely different society. You know, families would be thriving. Your marriages would be thriving. You'd be thriving yourself as a person because you just feel a lot better. You'd be a lot less stressed. But no, that's people, they put this hardship onto themselves, right? Because we clearly see that the system that we have going on is clearly not working. Oh, this, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to find someone. I'm going to date them for 10 years, get a house, get a car, have five children with them and still say I'm not ready for marriage. Are you serious?
Like what? Like that's so odd to me.
I want to go ahead and I want to make $5 million before I go ahead and get married because I need to make sure my finances are right before I get married. Like, no, when Allah has commanded you, like, you know, get married, like, even if, like, you don't really necessarily have the means. When Allah has commanded you, get married, you know, and find a source of peace.
He will provide for you, yeah.
When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, the first thing you look at when you marry someone is their deen, but you're over here, you know, you're looking at lust. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a whole different factors that go into it. Like, had you followed Allah and His messenger and what they commanded you to go do, like, you'd be in a lot better position today.
It's because we lack this, you know,
religious,
like, once again, we lack this tawakkul once again, right? You look for love in the wrong places. You look for love in the wrong qualities. And then you also try to prepare yourself in the wrong way. Like, as a man, you're trying to sit here and think that you're going to be able to provide way before that you look for a wife. Some people end up, you know, starting their career and whatnot before they get married. But if you found someone that you want to get married and you're just like, no, I'm going to wait until I can provide for you. Like, who's the provider? It's not you. SubhanAllah, it's not you. It doesn't matter. It's Allah. No matter where, what roof that you're living under or what roof she's living under, Allah's going to be your provider. It doesn't matter, right? And also, if you think about the flip side, right? You guys were talking about people getting marriages and, you know, they go in for lust, right? People go into marriages for lust and shaitan ends up exposing, you know, the ugly sides of, you know, both of their characters, right? But then there's also the flip side. People get blinded by love so much that they put their partner above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. And it's because you don't know how to love for the sake of Allah. You'd be willing to do anything for your partner so much so that you might end up committing kufr or committing some major sin. Right. If you look at the story of people that we've heard, like such as Barsisa, you know, a man who was an abid of Allah. He worshipped Allah. He was very known, noble man. But he ended up dying on kufr. He committed zina. He let the lust for a woman blind him so much so that he left Islam. Right. And that can happen to you, too, if you don't seek marriage, if you don't seek love the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, if you don't look to love the way that the prophets, you know, love their wives, you know what I mean? Because you want your love to be a form of worship. You want to be rewarded for everything that
exactly.
you do.
Exactly. Look, think of it, like, it's so odd to me that one, imagine you get married and you treat your spouse so well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with Jannah. Imagine that. You treat each other so well with such respect and such honor and such validity. Like, and it's not even just with you. You should be treating treating people like this. You should, whenever you meet someone, you honor them, you smile, you give them a handshake, and you give them you give them the respect that they deserve. Because like, we have blessed, like, Bani Adam, we are blessed. At hindsight, whenever you see a first human, if you have no ill intentions in your heart, you want to have that sincerity, that ikhlas, always remember Allah, you see them, and you smile and give them the respect that they deserve. Because they're a human being. Think about it. They're still here. They could become Muslim tomorrow. They can become better than you. You gotta have that love. That's the thing. That's one thing that, like, whenever I think about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had love for everyone. He had love in his heart
for everyone,
and even his enemies, they saw that with him. His enemies couldn't hate him because of how respectable of a man he was.
Look, even look at the Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Ubaydullah. Okay, I'm not even gonna say the name just because, but I know who the Sahabi is. But there was a hot Sahabi, right? And his father ended up passing away. His father was a hypocrite, one of the most known hypocrites, the most hated hypocrites, right? And at the time, Prophet ﷺ didn't know that. So he asked him to pray janazah on his father. He prayed janazah, and then that's when the verses came down saying not to pray janazah on the hypocrites because Allah's not going to accept it from them, right? But the Prophet ﷺ, knowing this, and he still prayed janazah on him, subhanAllah, right? He had love for everyone. There was not a single person that he wouldn't look to accept. He showed respect towards everyone. And there was no one that could not respect him because of the love he had in his heart for the people. Not just for the Muslims, but for the people.
Or even think about, and since we spoke about it, you know, foundationally, think about what we know about him and, you know, how he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew he was forgiven. He knew everything past and past and future sins forgiven. And he still stayed the night and he prayed to Allah till his feet got swollen. And he said, when he was asked about this, he said, should I not be a grateful servant? This was the love that he had in his heart for Allah. And when you look at it, like, you know, we're living this life. It's happening. Time is passing. You know, the time is going to come where you have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine you lived your life where you thought about this moment every single day when you got up for prayer, every single day. And then it's here and you get rewarded for everything that you used to do. And you get put in Jannah with those whom you love, and you with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you with the Sahaba, you with these people, you with the people that you genuinely, you know, you love. Like,
let's look at even another prophet who's been honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been, you know, called by Allah a grateful servant. Nuh alayhi salam, who preached longer than any prophet, but he didn't have a very large following. And he says in Surah Nuh, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرِي رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He was telling, you know, the people, you know, seek forgiveness from your Lord. And indeed, he's, you know, the most forgiving. But what did the people do? They shut off every single sense that they had. They were covering their ears. They were covering their eyes. They were covering everything so that they didn't have to listen to what Nuh alayhi salam had to say. But Nuh alayhi salam still persisted in that.
That's
because he really cared for the people.
That's one thing. He really cared, and genuinely he had a mission that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted to go and fulfill that. That's genuinely something that I'll be thinking about when I think about the prophets, peace and blessings be upon them. Aside from love, like, and then, which is another attribute that you need to have, patience. These guys were patient.
Because you truly never know. Like you said, like, this person could become Muslim tomorrow. They could become better than you. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you were talking to them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, they didn't want to accept the message of Islam. And then who knows, after 11 years, they finally do it. Mm-hmm. Like, their book of deeds still hasn't been closed yet. This person still hasn't died yet. So meaning what? You should never give up on that. Mm-hmm. Like, if they even have that slight sense of, you know, I want to turn back to Allah, like, of course, you got to always encourage it. Keep spreading the message, because your book is not over yet. Like, I want you to imagine this. You go, you live 90 years on this earth, you never stop preaching about Allah. Like, you're going to be rewarded for all 90 years. You know what I mean? All the way up until your death.
And that's another thing. If you Muslim, you gotta be persistent. You gotta be persistent. Every single day, the days don't stop until you're dead. Every single day, you gotta be persistent. And when you do it for the sake of Allah, when you do it, you take that persistence, you take the feeling of this is hard, I don't want to do this, and you do it for the sake of Allah, you're gonna get rewarded for that. You think God don't see your efforts? I promise you, every single day, you're getting saw. Like, you're noticed.
Let me tell you something, right? So, you know, we look at the life that we live as Muslims today, and we have, as Muslims, we have, you know, the example of the prophets. We have the example of the Sahaba. We have such a detailed seerah from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved creation, not just human, the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have such a detailed excerpt from it. And we know how he lived most of his life. We know a lot of the deeds that he was able to do, and that how we're supposed to follow in his footsteps, right? And if you've been given this gift, right, you have a mission. You've been entrusted by Allah to be a khalifa on this earth, to be a vicegerent on this earth, to walk this earth, to follow his commands, to worship him, and to hopefully do enough good deeds to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter Jannah. Your main mission is to try to enter Jannah, right, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have the answer key. You have the sunnah. You have the answer key, which is the Quran, right? You have the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would you not want to share that? You have the greatest gift known to mankind, and you don't want to share it with the people. You don't even want to like put yourself out there to know like how this could really make your life good. Like, having this religion is a good life, not the other way around. There's no good life without this religion.
I was about to say, you need to stop going from that person who's scared to practice their religion to loving their religion. And let me ask you this. Do you love your mother? Do you love your father? Do you love your close friends? Do you love your siblings? Like, do you truly love these people? Because if you truly love them, then you would want to put them on to what's good for them. Mm-hmm. You put them on to Islam. You're constantly giving them that. I don't care if they're already Muslim. Like, that constant reminder, you know, always trying to get better. Building their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're also building yours. Like, that means you truly want the best for this person. Not, oh, I want to put them on X amount of money. I want to put them on this and that. Like, yeah, those things, like, they come afterwards. But what's your main mission is put them on Islam. Because without Islam, all of that is meaningless. Like, once they die, it's all gone.
No, literally, that's what I'm saying. Like, Allah gave you a mission, right? Put you on this earth. Gave you a test. But he didn't just say, here's the test. No answers, no studying. He gave you the book, the answer key. And he gave you the key to the answers, which is his most beloved creation, which is the best example. And you have such a detailed story from him. And nowadays you got people saying, oh, I don't believe that this is his story. Like, subhanAllah, you don't think Allah would provide for his religion? Whenever I see, you know, certain people say like that, I'm like, how could you have love for Allah in your heart? You believe that Allah would let his religion get corrupt when he promised it would not be corrupted. He promised that the Quran would not be corrupted. He promised that his deen would not be corrupted. Then he says, "Ati Allah wa ati Rasul." How are you going to ati Rasul? And you don't you believe that what the Sahaba said or what he did is false. Oh, it's man-made. We don't know how to trust it. You don't trust Allah? It's not about trusting no man. If Allah honored someone with Islam, you have to believe that they've been honored by Allah, not by themselves. You think Qarun was given Islam? No. He became a hypocrite because he thought his gifts were from himself. Fir'aun wasn't able to accept Islam because he was so arrogant in himself. He thought that all his gifts were from him. He tried to call himself Rabbul Alameen, right? So then you see people nowadays and they think that they know better than Allah and the Messenger. They try to call this religion out the way that they see fit. Not that the way that Allah revealed it. Like, subhanAllah, what type of love do you have for Allah in your heart? I promise you, if you think that you could say these types of things, if you can question the religion like this, who are you questioning? You're not questioning none of the Sahaba. You're questioning Allah. Imagine that. And none of these people do that. Like, they think about these things. SubhanAllah, it's a level of heedlessness. And I can't tell you how much you have to bring up heedlessness because you don't know what heedlessness is. So, SubhanAllah, none of us know. Like, you're going to be doing a whole bunch of things and you're not going to always notice it. You're not going to notice it until you go back and reflect and you're like, damn, bro, I shouldn't have done that. That's when you finally realize, but it's too late. Now you've already done it. Now you just have to go repent. You have to go seek forgiveness from Allah. All right? Does someone who commits shirk right now, do they actually believe that they're doing something wrong? No. Or else they wouldn't be doing it. They're heedless to their actions. They don't know any better. And then when they do know better, now they're just arrogant. That now they're even worse. Okay? But for some people, the message of Islam hasn't reached them all the way. So they don't know exactly what they're doing. But then I see these people posting on social media. Like I saw a video. And I don't know if I'm going to respond to it yet, but I saw it. It was like our biggest, you know, like tragedy as women was that we let men interpret Islam and we took their interpretation.
Man, matter of fact, look, I saw that. No. I don't care. I ain't seen that video. But look, you know what I did see? Man, look, I don't care. Look, you guys flame me up in the comment section. I don't care. I don't give a damn what you guys have to say. Because look, this is exactly what I saw. This is what I have to say about it. So look, yesterday I was scrolling on TikTok. Right. And like, you know, like I saw a video and it was talking about marrying a woman who does tabarruj, right?
Okay.
And like, you know, when you click on the comment section, it'll have the word like tabarruj and like a little search icon. So I clicked on it and it was by accident. And I saw it was a video of me and you. We were talking, right? And you were talking about no, and you came out with some pretty great advice and you said beware of tabarruj, yeah, right? Yeah. Like nothing bad, right? He was giving advice that is in accordance with, you know, the sunnah.
Yeah.
And at the end of the video, I said, don't let the first time that you cover up be that when you're dead. Oh. And I'm looking at the comment section like, these men are fools. These men don't know what they're talking about. Who let these people have mics and this and that? And I'm like, subhanAllah. Like, did I say anything wrong? Did he say anything wrong? Like, he said everything that was according to the Quran and sunnah. He didn't say anything out of line. There was nothing out of line said about that. And yet we still... we're getting bashed in the comment section, like, you know, because obviously, like, yeah, there are people out there who take things out of hand, right? And I understand that. But when someone is coming with genuine advice and they're coming in a soft-spoken manner and they didn't say anything wrong, and yet you still sit there and you have the arrogance to say, oh, you shouldn't be talking about this. These people are fools. Like, how... I ain't going to say it because I'm going to try to keep it respectful, but, like, how heedless could you be? How much of a fool could you really be to be sitting here and saying that?
It's like
when I saw that last night, it genuinely pissed me off because I was like, there's no way that we come out here and all we're doing is giving a simple reminder. And yet, you know,
and all you have to do is just say this. All you have to do is say this in that moment. If it's a genuine reminder too, right? He didn't say anything wrong. You can't pinpoint anything you said that was said was wrong. The reminder benefits the believer. Which one are you?
That's crazy.
The reminder benefits the believer. If you're a believer, it's going to benefit you some way. You're not going to sit here and say, oh, you're wrong. Take this guy's mic away. These guys are just talking.
But here's the thing, though. Like, on the other hand, yeah, I will say there was, yes, of course, a lot of other comments that said, like, wow, like, man, I'm trying, subhanAllah. And like that right there, I can respect that. Like, even if, like, you're not, like, where you're trying to be, like, just the fact that you're trying to get there, like, that is 100% respectable. And like, here's the thing. I don't usually go through the comment section, like, especially not on TikTok, because I don't even be on TikTok like that. Like, I'll show you. My screen time on TikTok is literally 5 minutes a day. Like, if that even, like, some days I'm not even on TikTok at all. You know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, I don't be on TikTok. I be on Instagram Reels. But yeah, like, even when it comes to, like, our Instagram videos, I'll comment something, like, I'll just leave it be. But, like, yeah, and that video was, like, over a year old, too. And I was like, man, subhanAllah, bro. Like, it's crazy. It was the first video that popped up, too, bro.
That's crazy.
But, you know, and what you mentioned about, I saw that video where it was like, oh, we let men interpret their religions. I have one response. Like, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man. What are you going to say to him? If you're only, your only stipulation, your only problem is that, oh, you let men, like you guys, they be hating men so much for no absolute, because one bad apple don't mean the tree is corrupt.
And like I told you.
Bro, not even that,
not
bro.
Even like the prophets were, the bro. Prophets were men. Like y'all, when people say this statement, like, oh, I hate all men or things like that. Like y'all, like you got to understand what you're saying.
It just goes back to what we were talking like about earlier earlier in this episode. When you love Allah, you love his messenger. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you just know things in your heart. And when you wouldn't be saying those types of things had that love been strong for Allah and his messenger.
There's a difference. There's a difference between submitting to Allah and worshiping Allah. Submitting to Allah, you're going to see something, you're going to be like, I believe that's from Allah and his messenger.
Exactly. Because like that's truly you submitting to Allah. Like, there are things in Islam, like, they go, I don't know.
Perhaps you might not, no, perhaps right. you might not like it.
Hold on, one sec. Like, all right, getting married. Oh, my God. Like, yeah, that's such a good thing. All right, but then when Allah says, all right, listen to music, hold on. Oh, man, I don't like that part. But, you know, every other part, I like it. You know what I mean? Like, that submission, like, that's when you're truly tested by Allah. Like, when there's something that you genuinely don't like to do, but yet you still have to do for the sake of Allah, like, that is your real test right there. Not the things that, oh, okay, this already goes hand in hand with what I already like. So, you know, oh, well, like, yeah, those things are easy. I'm not saying you won't be rewarded. Of course, you're going to be rewarded for it.
Like I said,
but that's just easy.
There's going to be things that you do that aren't necessarily good for you or your relationship to Allah, and you're not going to notice it.
Okay. Good example of submitting to Allah. I like to wear shorts. All right. But since I'm a Muslim, I'm not going to go out wearing shorts anymore. All right. There you go. I submitted to Allah in that sense.
And honestly, for that specific example, when I stopped wearing shorts and I just started putting on sweats, like when I go to the store or something, well, I feel so much better, bruh. I don't be feeling like naked no more.
Bro, but that's the thing. Like me, like that wasn't something I used to struggle with because I used to love wearing pants. I used to always love wearing pants. I was just like, you know, wearing shorts, like, okay. But you know, like there's obviously other things that, you know, weren't as easy that probably would have been easy for you. Like we're all different. We all struggle with different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want you to think about it like what I said earlier. If wearing shorts is too big for you, then too big for you that it causes you to sever the relationship between you and Allah, like your relationship, like was it worth it? It was worth a pair of shorts?
Bro, such a crazy way to think about things.
It was worth a pair of shorts.
Yeah, like is you persisting in that deed?
Like is that worth
and it? And you've seen some evidence or you start to feel that it takes you away from Allah, but it's harder for you to leave that than to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then is your relationship to Allah worth that? Is you entering the hellfire worth that deed that you're still doing?
And I will say, look, there is a big difference between the person who tries to justify what they're doing and the person who genuinely says, all right, look, I know wearing shorts are hot on, but I still wear them. I know it's bad. But, you know, I'm trying. Like, there's a big difference between that person. Man, this religion is telling me I can't wear shorts. I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, there's
a big difference between those people. If they're showing aura, okay, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because not.
The only thing is when it comes to shorts, at least if you're a man, is that, you know, if your shorts go, like, right to your knee, then when you sit down, it's going to show your aura. So that's why it's, you know. It's better for you to just wear.
That's why I start sagging. I'm just kidding.
That's why you just wear something long, bro. Like, for example, when I stopped wearing shorts to the gym, and then I just started wearing compressions with it, bro, I never went back. Like, I can't go to the gym wearing normal shorts anymore. I don't know why. Like, obviously, I know why, but I can't do it no more. It's the habit now, right? So you build up these habits, and I did it for the sake of Allah. So then Allah put this love in my heart that I don't want to do it unless it's like
and
this.
Look,
you know
most
I mean?
Of the times, you'll find when you try and do something for the sake of Allah, you're trying to change your life. At first, it's going to be hard, and then it becomes second nature.
Yeah, then it sticks.
That's a blessing from Allah. At first, that taking that first step is going to be hard, and that's like is, and perhaps someone can have like you know take this and have patience if you struggle with something. At first, it's going to be hard, and then
like look at when you start waking
it's
up,
it's like starting a car.
Matter of fact, no, bro, it's like doing homework, bro. Like you don't want to start, you want to sit there, you want to put it off, and then you start doing it, and then you start writing that essay, and then all of a sudden the ideas are flowing. You know, you sitting there, you writing.
It's like when you start praying Fajr, right? It's not the easiest in the world at first. You know, you got to really make sure that you wake up on your alarm. Some people will say that it's difficult for them to wake up. But then once you start doing it, sometimes you wake up before your alarm. Sometimes you might not wake up for fudge because maybe you forgot to set the alarm or your alarm didn't go off or something. But then you'll feel that nature in your heart that like, dang, bro, I didn't get to wake up. You know, I'm going to make sure I make it up. And I'm going to make sure that, you know, I set like three alarms tomorrow or something like that. You know,
sir, this is like almost every single morning for me. When I wake up for fudge, I promise you, I hear the alarm go off and I look over. I'm like, I get angry because I wake it up. Dude, I'm a heavy sleeper. And I stare at the ceiling for 2 seconds. And then I sleepwalk to the bathroom. And then I'm so tired and it's taking all my life force out of me to walk up and get up out of my bed. And then after I make Wudu, it's like, okay. Now I'm not tired no more. Yep. And it's like the initial step, it's like the most difficult thing in my life. It's like I'm lifting up.
Then you pray that sunnah, you get warmed up.
You get warmed up.
Nah, because like, look, you know, you pray that sunnah, right? Like you try your best to focus on there, but then you might not be the best focus. But then once you hop in that real prayer, like, you know, the Fajr prayer, then... You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, well, you're all right, in. Though, because like sometimes that sunnah, although, you know, it's better than the world and everything in it, sometimes it does serve as like a warm up for me, just because like sometimes like I usually build up this habit where I wait a second before I pray so that I can like, no matter what prayer it is, so I can like focus for a second, either think about what surahs I want to read or something like that. So I can really like focus on the connection with Allah. But then when it comes to fajr, sometimes it's hard. You know, you just do wudu when you're tired still. So you're just like, all right, I'm just going to pray. So then you pray that sunnah mad quick and you're still a little tired, a little sleepy, a little groggy. So then you're not as focused on the prayer. But then when it comes to fajr, you say salam, you're like, okay, hold on. I wasn't as focused on that one. I'm going to lock in now, right? Yep. So you take a couple deep breaths, you know, what's it called? Say the qama.
And those sunnah prayers, they're going to be there to help you out on the day of judgment. Facts. Because like, look, like, think about all those prayers. I don't know, like, your situation, everyone's situation is a little bit different. But all those prayers where you weren't fully concentrated in or like, you know, God forbid, you missed a prayer or something like that. Like, those sunnah prayers, like, they're going to come, like, and they're going to help you out.
Literally only to help you out, subhanAllah.
Because like Allah will look at your volunteer prayers after he looks at your fard.
SubhanAllah. I think that's a good way to finish it off. I hope you took something from this podcast, inshallah ta'ala. Started thinking about your relationship or maybe what you even see on social media, inshallah. Never be afraid to really speak up about your religion, bro. Because like, you know, especially if you do it in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you speak with where you have knowledge, mm-hmm. and not where you don't have knowledge, and you try to encourage people, you be empathetic, you try to showcase the character of the Prophet ﷺ, mm-hmm. And that of the Sahaba, then, you know, may Allah reward you for that.
You seek honor from Allah, Allah will reward you. You know what I mean?
Truly, truly. So inshallah ta'ala, you guys took some benefit from it. Make sure you join Guided Success, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Link will be in the description. You can check it out or you can schedule a call with me, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and ask some questions. And with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure you share this with your friends and family. You never know, his life you can change by sharing this episode. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars, so we're open to correction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.